Hello.
All right, cool.
I think we're good.
What's going on, everybody? Thank you so much for joining me. And of course, as usual, I have something to share with you. And let's just get into it.
I have a kind of like a montage of things to share with you this evening.
And it just gets crazier and crazier, the stuff that they're saying.
It just absolutely gets crazier and crazier.
And you can't make it up anymore. Not that we made it up before. You know, it makes me think about sometimes when you see articles and how they do the headlines and draw you in, like, oh my goodness. And sometimes they do the headlines to trigger people.
You really don't have to do that.
You know why?
Because the story is already bad enough.
The story itself is bad enough. So you don't need to add anything to it.
To give an example, Karine Jean-Pierre literally.
She's calling out people for being racist.
Now I want y'all to listen to how she says this.
Because I'm sitting there listening to it, I'm like, is she for real?
And she is for real.
Now all the racist people that have been in this country have been the Democrats. Now I'm not saying that people on the right can't be racist because racism exists everywhere.
White, black, Asian, Hispanic, don't matter, Indian, don't matter.
Racism is just a human sin.
It's a human thing that people just do.
It's always existed.
But listen to what she says about racism here in the United States of America.
And while you're at it, please go to unitedamericafirst.com/podcast and sign up for the podcast.
Please subscribe to the podcast.
This broadcast right now is live on the podcast.
So if you go there and you're busy, you can't watch right now, you can go listen to it.
Please subscribe.
But listen to this.
They should all step down. And here's the difference between Democrats and MAGA Republicans. When a Democrat says something racist or anti-Semitic, we hold them. We hold Democrats accountable.
You know what? So I don't know what the question was before this because I only found this clip here. But I'm assuming that they're talking about the racism that took place in California with the lady calling the little black boy a monkey. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I talked about it the other day. She was the president of the council in L.A., California, right? She got caught saying racist remarks, you know, because they recorded her. She knows she was on a hot mic and she felt comfortable saying all of that, talking about, you know, her colleague's son. So they're saying that they're calling out Democrats when they say racist rhetoric. But this is what she says about Republicans when it comes to Republicans. Let me take it over. This is a really short clip, but just listen.
And here's the difference between Democrats and MAGA Republicans. When a Democrat says something racist or anti-Semitic, we hold them. We hold Democrats accountable. When a MAGA Republican says something racist or anti-Semitic, they are embraced by cheering crowds and become celebrated and sought after endorsements.
Really? So what MAGA Republican has said something racist that people celebrated them on? Really? I mean, now she's just saying it, right? She's just mouthing it off. And we're supposed to just believe it regardless of them showing any evidence of it. And she's basically referring to President Trump, right? She's referring to President Trump or anyone who supports President Trump, talking about MAGA Republicans. But we're supposed to just believe everything that she says because she said it, right? We're just supposed to believe it. Well, I don't think so. If there was all of this racist remarks and racist rhetoric coming, and you know what? There was a video... I think it was with Carrie Lake, if I'm not mistaken. I can't remember who it was, but it was a lady when she was on stage with President Trump, and she said something about white something. I can't even remember because I knew what she was trying to say, and she ended up saying something else. But they took it that she meant to say the racist remark, which was a total lie. There was nothing. She wasn't being racist. Right. But that's what they do. They take stuff that they know when someone was saying something else and then they elevate it, saying it was racist. But they don't do that with Joe Biden.
You ain't black.
Right. That's OK for Joe to say it. And they don't call out Democrats when they're being racist. If that was the case, they would call Fetterman out for when he was chasing down a black man with a shotgun. But they are tight-lipped on that. Why are they tight-lipped on it? So no, they don't. They completely ignore. They completely do. And they don't call them out, because if they did, they would have, they spend all day calling them out. All day long. Now, Kamala Harris. Like I told you, I have a montage of videos I want to share with you this evening. Kamala Harris, she's actually talking about the border. It's like she's finally talking about the border. I want y'all to listen, because she's actually saying what should be done on the border. She's actually going to say what should be done on the border. And I'm like listening, and she doesn't even realize what she's saying. She's so far gone in her mind, she doesn't even realize what she's saying. Everything that she's about to say in this video, she should be doing it, but she doesn't. Listen.
We're talking about people who have fled great harm. They've fled great harm. And they are coming here seeking refuge. And talk about political theater. I mean, playing games with people's lives, with their lives. You know, there were mothers with sleeping babies getting off those buses. And I just think it's an absolute dereliction of duty. If you see a problem.
You hearing this? You hear? She said, if you're seeing a problem, well, we all see the problem on the southern border.
And if we agree that we need to address it, then if you're a leader, participate in a solution.
Right? Listen, she's the border czar. Let me remind you, she's the border czar. You hear what she's saying? She said, if you're a leader,
participate in a solution, right? When we first came in office, the first bill that we proposed was for a pathway for citizenship, was to fix a broken immigration system, which was broken under the previous administration.
Total lies. Straight up lie. It was not a broken system. President Trump had it under control. President Trump was getting it even more under control, and they hated it. You remember, they didn't have any issues going down to the southern border when President Trump was in office, because President Trump was preventing all of this influx of people coming into the country. Millions of people now. President Trump was stopping it. They're calling that a broken system because it was working. That's what they're calling a broken system.
Participate in the solution, because we are offering solutions. But instead, this gamesmanship with real human beings who trust us.
I mean, something's really wrong with her, right? There's something really wrong. She's literally saying, people trust us. You know, the people that they're sent the memo out to cross the southern border, that's what she's talking about. She's talking about people like this. Right. Listen to this Fox News reporter ask him the question about, you know, Joe Biden. You know, what do you think?
Do you have any message for President Biden?
We thank him for accepting us for living here.
OK, thank you very much. I don't want to interrupt.
So they just welcome in. Just come on in. And it's not even the front door. It's not even the side door. It's the back window they're coming in. And Kamala Harris and the Democrats, you know, that's part of the reason. And I'm surprised she's actually talking about the southern border after Nancy Pelosi told the Democrats not to talk about the southern border, not to talk about the gas prices, not to talk about anything that the American people are suffering through. Don't talk about those things. But you can talk about abortion. You can talk about wokeism. Anything about wokeism, you can talk about that, but don't talk about the stuff that's actually affecting Americans on a day-to-day basis. Don't do that. That's a problem. That's a problem. Now, apparently today is coming out day, and I had no idea. Did you know? I mean, maybe some of you know. Maybe you have close family members that, you know, say, because today is National Come Out Day. This is nationally a demonic entity. The United States of America has a national come out day, national sodomy day. They have a national sodomy month, right? And then if you don't want to participate, then something is wrong with you. Something is wrong with you if you don't want to participate. Karine Jean-Pierre took the time behind the podium to tell all of us about her coming out. What in the world does that have to do with day-to-day lives of American people? This is not even a real issue. And you're talking about a small minority, a small number of people that partake in this sinful act. But they're making it so large, like it's really normal. And again, let me be clear about something. If you're an adult, do your thing. I can care less. But if you're going to publicly say something and try to push it as it's beautiful and it's, it, you know, and it's something that we all should do, then I get to speak out and say no. Right? I get to say no. Look up the history of how sodomy has done nations. Look it up.
Today is National Coming Out Day. And so I wanted to start by sharing my own coming out story. Like so many in the LGBTQ community, coming out wasn't an easy thing to do. My family was traditional and conservative. Being gay in my family wasn't something that you mentioned out loud or celebrated. But my family, like many, many other families, grew to accept who I was. They saw that who I loved didn't change who I was as a person. It didn't change the things I liked to do, and it didn't change the goals I had for my life. The beauty of America is its freedoms and the promise that you can achieve your dreams, no matter your race, sex, country of origin, sexual orientation, or gender identity. This is something we continue to strive toward and fight for, particularly as we continue to see a wave of anti-LGBTQ legislation across the country.
Where?
And it's why I'm so honored to serve the president and the first lady, who have stood with the LGBTQ community for many years and will continue to stand with all those who come out. And we are thinking about those who are coming out or those who are thinking about coming out. And we are here for you and we will continue to support you.
Okay. One question I have is, how much of this does she actually believe? You know, and the reason why I say that, because if this is something that's near and dear to your heart, why does she have to keep referring to her notes? Did y'all notice that? She was constantly, you know, maybe it's like a speech that she wrote that she, you know, felt compelled to come. She said, I have to write the speech out. If this is something that's near and dear to your heart, don't you have the capability of just coming out and expressing that without having to make a speech about it? And again, what she goes and make the statements talking about this LMNOP community that's violence against them, right? Where's that at? Where is it at? Just because I agree with the Holy Bible, what the Word of God says, they're saying that I'm being anti-LMNOP community because I agree with God's Word. And I'm telling y'all, this is, they're pushing this. I mean, with them doing a whole month, now they're doing a national day for coming out, really? All under God's sky. They're doing this despite of what God's word says. They're blatantly doing this. They're blatantly doing it. And it's the same thing like they did during Rome. They did this in Rome, right? That demonic relationship that they were having was happening all in Rome. And it's no secret. And like in San Francisco, you know, listen what Joe said. Listen what Joe Brandon said about San Francisco. And he's talking to Anderson Gay Cooper. And it's like, just listen.
Remember Anderson back 15, 20 years ago, we talked about this in San Francisco. It was all about, well, you know, gay bathhouses and everybody. It's all about round the clock sex. It's all, come on, man.
It's about gay bathhouses, round-the-clock sex. Come on, man. Like it's normal.
Come on, man.
Like, it's what are you saying? It's all perfectly fine. It's all perfectly normal. What has societies in the past have done? Sodom and Gomorrah. Right? But they don't want to acknowledge that. They don't want to think that existed. And they're pushing this stuff under God's sky. And they're basically just defying God as much as possible in every. Listen to that one more time. It's disgusting.
Remember, Anderson, back 15, 20 years ago, we talked about this in San Francisco. It was all about, well, you know, gay bathhouses and everything. It's all about round the clock sex. It's all, come on, man.
I was like, what? And I remember him saying that. And I'm like, what? What? And there's a lot of people, even conservatives, that get mad at me because I don't want to participate or, you know, go to the parade. People to call themselves conservatives, Republicans, conservative Christians even, get upset with Will Johnson and say, well, Will Johnson, you're not being really inclusive. Your website is Unite America First, right? But it's not about uniting people that's living a sinful lifestyle. It's not even about uniting black people or white people. It's about uniting Americans. Who you go home with is no business of Will Johnson. Why do I need to know about it? Right? Why do I need to know about it? It's none of my business. You can come, you can tell me, say, Will, my sex life is none of your business. And I will go, I completely agree. I completely agree. We agree. I don't need to know. But if you got to put it out there on Front Street and try to push it, and the reason why they do it, because they want you to accept it. They want it to be something good. They're defying God. That's exactly what it is, 100%. You can't make it up. That's exactly what they're doing. That's the reason why they do it. And then we have this. Let me share this with you. So this is a Fetterman. This is really interesting here. This is Fetterman. And in order to have a debate with Fetterman or just have an interview with Fetterman, he has to have access to a Telegram machine. You know, he has to have access to a computer that'll tell him what to say. And they ask him, is he going to be ready to go on day one?
Can voters trust that you will be able to do this job on day one?
Look at him. Look at him. He asked the question like he didn't understand the question. He doesn't know what the question is. So he's looking at the computer to find out what the question is. And the computer has the answer for him, too. I mean, this is worse than Joe Brandon. You know, Joe Biden, he would have his cue cards when he would first go out, and he would call on the person and they would have to ask him the question that's on his cue card, or they wouldn't get a response. You remember that? It constantly was happening. But he's asked a question, will you be able to do the job on day one? And he's like, let me see, what's the answer here?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, of course. And he's looking at the computer to say, yeah, of course, I'll be ready to go on day one. And it gets better. Look, there it is right there. There's a computer. And I'm surprised they even allow this to be recorded like this. And I'm like, what? What? What have we become, people?
His campaign required that he be allowed to use a transcription program on his computer during our interview.
I always thought I was pretty empathetic. Emphatic. Empathetic. You know, that's an example of the stroke. Empathetic. Yeah. I always thought I was very empathetic before having a stroke. But now after having that stroke, I really understand, you know, much more kind of the challenges that Americans.
I mean, come on. It's truly embarrassing, right? Is it embarrassing to you? Or is it just like, I mean, you know, I used to say that what they were doing to Joe Biden was elderly abuse. I constantly said it's elderly abuse, what they were doing to him. Now it's just, he's a bubbling idiot. He doesn't mind the abuse that they're doing to him. He doesn't mind it, right? He doesn't. Jill Biden, she's right there with him. But I remember when I was going to, when I went to college and the time that I was in college and when I had to go take a test and, you know, you had to take certain tests and stuff like that. They made me take my laptop. If I had a laptop or if I had a cell phone, I had to set them to the side. They wouldn't even let me take them in the room. I had to check them in the room before I can go in and take the test. This is like taking a test. Fetterman is like taking a test. When you're in an interview, you need to be able to answer the questions, right? You need to be able to answer the questions. If you're going to be making legislation and passing bills and doing different things, you need to be able to answer the questions. And because he had a stroke, that only means that he should not, he's not fit. He needs to be resting. He needs to be resting somewhere. Same thing I used to say about Joe Biden. He needs to be somewhere resting. They're abusing this man. I mean, that's all what it is. He had a stroke. There should be something in play. But you know what? That it's like the demons. They don't care. Well, we don't care. We don't want someone that President Trump endorsed. So they're willing to put someone in there that is completely incoherent to in a position because that's how much they hate Trump. Dude, there's seriously something. I mean, we know that he's wrong. And so my producer sent me a thing, said he's using because the stroke causes him to have audio problems. He scrambles what people say, but the computer is helping him go along through therapy. That should be an automatically, you know, ding, ding, ding. Then, you know what? Sorry. You need to step down. Sorry. I mean, that's just the way it is. We need people. We already have a problem with Democrats, right? That think a man can get pregnant and have a baby, or they don't know what a woman is. We already have that problem. But he actually had a physical problem happen with him. Had a physical problem. Now, talking about Democrats again, we already have a problem with Democrats. Listen to this actual sitting congressman already. His name is Tim. And he's talking about we don't need someone who's going to suck up. Right. He's saying that basically that we don't need someone who's going to suck up to President Trump is basically what he's saying. Anyone that's sucking up. But listen to this.
Ohio needs an ass kicker, not an ass kisser.
You've said that you don't like Nancy Pelosi. You love Nancy Pelosi, love yeah. That you have a lot of respect for her, both as an individual member of Congress and the way that she has led. What would you do so differently?
Yeah, I do love her. Two real quick stories because Senator Schumer's here and I want to make sure he's my future boss. So I got to suck up a little bit here.
I mean, a bunch of hypocrites. That's who they are, a bunch of hypocrites. So he's talking about him saying, you know, basically kissing, you know, Trump, right? Basically what he's talking about, sucking up to Trump. But then here he goes, sucking up to Nancy Pelosi, right? He sucks up to all of them. Jerry Nadler sucks up to them. Here's another one I got to share with you.
Republicans last night pointed to the fact that despite what you say, and you have come out in publicly and said those things, you vote with Nancy Pelosi and you vote with Joe Biden almost 100% of the time. So what do you say to that?
Well, I say, look at what we voted for.
Okay, so let's look what you voted for. 87,000 armed IRS agents to go after the American people, more taxes, the war, right? The open border. The destruction of America, that's what you voted for, 100%, and it's against the American people. That's exactly what happened. That's exactly what went down. And they don't have any issues with it. It's like they don't want to hide it. They don't want to hide it. They really don't. All right. This is going to be a short one tonight, but I want to share something else with you. I don't know who made this, but whoever made this, mad kudos to you.
Thanks, Green. You said the president was responsible for gas prices coming down. Is the president responsible for gas prices going up?
So
it's a lot more nuanced than that, right? Peter, you know this. There have been global challenges that we have all have dealt with. All right. Thanks, everybody.
I mean, come on. You have to admit that's good because that's exactly what it is. Oh, man. I so wish that was true. It's just a meme. Okay, for you liberals out there that don't understand, it's just a meme. That's what you call a meme. But it's beautiful because that's exactly what she's putting out bull crap. That's exactly what she's doing constantly, all the time. And I don't know who made this, but this is so good. I mean, come on. It's so good. It's because it's so true. It's 100% true. All right, everybody, I'm going to bounce up out of here. I want to thank everyone for being with me this evening. I'm calling it a short night, but you know what? Thank you so much again for all your blessings. Thank you so much for sharing this. Thank you so much for being with me. George, thank you so much for the stars. I really do appreciate it. Thank you so much. And April, thank you so much. Brenda, thank you. And Chuck, thank you so much. And Taylor, thank you so much. I really do appreciate it. All right, everybody. We'll see you on the flip side. Reality check. Yes,